Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We got to. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and chill, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs to pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and much more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash, your legendary blocking tight end, a former Chiefs and Eagles tight end, our guy Jason Dunn. JD, how are we doing, buddy? Super Bowl week.
Yes, it is. Super Bowl week. It is here. It is absolutely here. Finally here. So I enjoyed this whole week, what it's been like. So I'm getting a little feedback. You hear it? No?
A little bit.
Check again.
What do you only hear when you speak?
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's my deep voice. That's why I'm giving them.
Yeah, so last week we was we had a little buy, a little mini buy to get healthy and everything, and it seems like everything is going well with our guys. Hardman's done for the season, but we did get one guy back, and now I hear the feedback.
Now, okay, here we go.
Yeah. All right. Did you fix the issue?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. But now we got CEH back. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into a lot of stuff in today's episode. Some fun stuff, Super Bowl week. Talk about some pregame meals. And then also a little bit of something that's not being talked about enough. It's a matchup that's not being talked about enough. It's a little bit of the different meals from both places. You got Kansas City barbecue and you got Philly cheesesteaks. A matchup that no one's talking about this week. And I think that we're going to address that at the end. And I think JD is a perfect guy to talk about that, playing in both cities. So he could definitely speak to both of those. But obviously, before we get into it, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Picket. You guys should download the Picket Sports app, especially with the Super Bowl Sunday coming up. Guys, place your wagers on the game coming up. Picket tells you the best betting lines from all different apps that's on there. And then also, if you use our promo code Chiefs, you guys can get an additional $3, either Venmo or PayPal to you, or $100. And we've actually had a few of our viewers last week actually contacted us saying they got $3 from Picket, so hey, they're paying it off for you guys. So yeah, go to our link in the description and get some free cash from Picket Sports Betting app. All right, so
first, this is gonna be the last like one time football game that you need to put your money on, right? I mean, if you're so into the Chiefs and you know the Chiefs gonna win, go ahead, throw some dollars on it, right? let your money. Why not do it?
For sure.
This is the Eagles. That's what you want to go with. Okay. Hey, you got every right to do that. So go ahead.
For sure, JD. I don't know what if you messed with your microphone settings at all. It's coming through different than what it was in the beginning of the show.
Oh, it was okay.
Just a little technical difficulties. The way
is that better?
No.
Okay. Hold on. Let me do this. Okay, what about now?
That sounds good. Do you still hear an echo?
Not really. How about you? Can you hear?
I don't hear an echo. Somebody on our group, everybody in the chat right now, can you guys let us know if you hear an echo? Nobody is saying echo right now. I don't know if anybody else is hearing that. Cole, Lenny, do you guys hear an echo?
Echo?
Let's see. I don't hear anything, but hopefully these guys can maybe help us out. If you guys hear an echo, just let us give us a thumbs up, or if not, we'll keep rolling with the show. Just want to make no echo. Okay, cool.
Okay, good.
All right. Okay, so a lot of topics. Everyone's talking about a lot of things this week. And the big things. So for this episode, I compiled kind of the big things everyone's talking about when it comes to this matchup between the Chiefs and the Eagles. And so I kind of compile that off for the questions for the show this week. And so our first one we're going to go over this week, JD, is kind of what I highlighted with CEH being back, and then what receivers need to step up this week is kind of the big thing everyone keeps pointing to on all the hot take shows and everything. So last week we talked about, you said getting right was a big thing for this week. Health was a big concern, and now everyone's practicing. I think the only receiver that's practicing in a limited capacity is Kadarius Toney. Mecole Hardman's done for the season. We'll see if he ever plays in a Chiefs uniform again. That's going to be a discussion we'll have in the offseason. Plenty of time for that discussion. But Coach Reed said Toney and Juju would play. But Tony's the only one who's limited currently. So my question is, how big of a deal is it to have CH back, especially if we are going to be down a pass catcher like Mecole Hardman? CH can contribute out of the backfield like he has in the past. And to you, who of our receivers needs to step up this week to give us a shot against this Eagles defense?
Okay, hopefully my audio is fixed now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. Well, okay, CH coming back is, I would say, is a it's a luxury to have, right? I don't know how many carries he's going to get in this game, or if, you know, what his contribution is going to be. If he comes in and he gives, a couple of carries, cool, that'd be fine, right? But I think we know, as far as the pecking order, is going to be Pacheco, McKinnon, and then CEH. That's how it's going to roll. And so if CEH is able to come in and give you something, then yeah, like I said, fine. The guys that's been in there, you got to keep going with the hot hand. The hot hand has been Pacheco and McKinnon. Nothing against CEH. You just hadn't played in a long time. And that is significant, especially when you're talking about, getting hits, fumbling the football, all those different things, right? Now, he's going to have fresh legs, all right? And Lenny, he beat me to it, who I thought was going to say I had to step up. But CH, just talking about him, I think that he's one of the guys that I think is, if he gets a contribution, then fine, cool. But I'm not looking for him to be a huge part of what we do offensively. Now, as far as wide receiver-wise, having Hardman out, now we've been playing without Hardman for quite some time and been doing particularly well with other guys stepping up. And what I'm actually looking for, I'm looking for another repeat performance from MVS. I like to see MVS get off again. Why not? Look, hey, we threw some balls to him last week or 2 weeks ago, and he was absolutely phenomenal out there. He really was. And so if I'm Patrick, I'm saying, look, I got a guy now who's going to go up to get the football. He understands what it means making big plays, and he did it. He made big plays. And so I think we have a good problem, a good issue. With MVS, Juju comes back. Kadarius Toney is one of the guys, like Lenny was sitting there talking about, is a guy that I think needs to kind of step up. I need to see a little bit more from him. But he's a guy that's going to give a spark. He's going to give us the jet sweep. He's going to give, you know, ball in the head real quick, get up the field for, you know, 10 to 15 yards. And then, you know, you have, obviously, Sky Moore that's in there. And I think Sky has been growing as a receiver, kind of a guy that you can lean on. So we got players. We have receivers, and that's the thing about it. We got a good problem. And then we talk about the tight ends. And I said 13 personnel is something that I think we need to get into. I think it's a personnel that will cause some problems for the Eagles defense. And so with Jordy Fortson, obviously Travis Kelce is going to go out there. He's going to kill him, right? And then you're talking about having Noah Gray. And so these guys are capable in the game as far as catching the football. But I'm just looking as far as like what we're doing offensively, and I'm going to keep going back to this. We keep talking about wide receivers. Great. No problem about that. We got to get the ball out of hands first. We got to keep Patrick upright, pure and simple. And the best way to do that, to alleviate the pass rush, is to run the football effectively, right? You got to run the football effectively. Pacheco, McKinnon, if CH is able to come in and do a little, hey, cool. Let that be that. But that's what I'm thinking about right now. As far as CH, what his contribution is going to be to the game, and then a wide receiver, what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and then plus something we didn't have last game was Justin Watson. You know, Justin Watson was sick that last game in Cincinnati. You know, he would have had a good productive game. And then we had to rely on guys like Marcus Kemp, who showed, you know, he can come in spot duty. So the weapons will be there. I don't think we'll be a lack for that. And like you said, we've been without Mecole Hardman. You know, that's kind of been the common trend. You know, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And, you know, so now and now we're seeing guys. Thankfully, we did that Tony trade, because look at our receiving room. If we didn't have Tony right now, I mean, I'd just kind of, you know, I don't know. It'd be very, very scary to think about that.
But like you said, Justin Watson gives us another body, right? He gives us another body, gives us another performer who could go out there and catch balls if we needed him. So we'll need everybody, right? Because we just never know how the game's going to go. And if guys are dealing with issues, you know, like Darius Tony, well, he's back. But he could be out of the game. Same thing with Juju and all, anybody for that matter. And so it's always good to have, you know, number of guys ready to come in and perform when you need them to be.
Yeah, and we're seeing a comment here from our guy, Lenny Dawson, talking about screen game needs to be on point to slow the pass rush, especially Jerick McKinnon, who we've talked about before. And he's another weapon that we can throw the ball to. Obviously his pass blocking is one thing, but that as well, being able to be a pass catcher in the backfield as well.
Yeah, I think it's going to be implemented too in the game. I mean, they do it every week, so I know they'll pick the spots when and where they're going to do it. And they do a good job of that offensively as far as making that call. It's usually, you know, pretty much spot on. I'm sure we're going to see maybe a shuffle pass and stuff like that too. So it's going to be some things that they're going to throw out here for this game that we might not have seen yet this year. And so I'm letting people know, be wary, because there's going to be a couple of things. People's like, what is going on, right? We had the ring around the roses, you know, deal and whatnot. But, yeah, there's going to be some creative things going on out that field on Sunday. Believe it.
Yeah, maybe some more snow globe action like we saw at the ring around the roses. Lenny brought up a good point on, you know, using McKinnon out of the backfield. And that's one thing a lot of people are scared about is the pass rush of the Eagles. So I looked up some numbers, and I found some next-gen stat numbers I'm going to throw at you, JD. So since week 11, the Eagles have pressured the opposing passer on 42.6% of dropbacks per next-gen stats. The next best team in that time span was the Jacksonville Jaguars at 36.7%. And we went through them. That was obviously the game Mahomes got hurt. But Eagles defensive line has probably the best depth we've seen in the NFL in quite some time. I may put it up there with the Tampa Bay Buccaneer team that we played against in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. They have four pass rushers who had 11 or more sacks in the regular season and 10 or more players with at least half a sack. So my question to you is, JD, what kind of offensive game plan do we need? And if you were in that room, in the coaching room, what kind of offensive game plan would you kind of throw at Philadelphia to kind of stymie this pass rush?
Well, it's got to be, one, run the football effectively. That's number one. You got to establish the run. I don't care what you do. I don't care how many passes you do, how many screens. You have to establish the run because you have to. They got to play you honestly. And if they don't, and they're just letting them just tee off and come up the field, they're getting in lanes as far as the same thing in the screen game. And so they can feel when a lineman is coming off of them, especially in the pass rush, because it shouldn't be that easy. And so the thing is, they got the athletic guys to do it. They can you know, run back and get back into the lane to stop that if they need to, stop the running back from getting over there. And I think part of it has to be, well, look, one of those things you had to also do is you got to be effective in blocking them and chipping them going out, okay? That's another thing. Another thing I would say that you have to do to alleviate the pass rush, you got to expand. I say go into 13 personnel and then expand out there and catch the football. That's what you have to do. Get your big guys out and make sure that you give them some very hard matchups against, you know, those DBs in the secondary to stop the tight ends. That's what I'm thinking about. And so jet sweep is another thing, okay, that you have to do. You got to put that into the game plan, I'm sure, because once you out leverage the defense, hey, there you go. Now they got to make sure they get wide enough to make sure they never get hooked on those things. So I think it's a lot of different things. You can be creative. I think you can do some neat things in the passing game as well. Maybe spread offense a little bit, right? Go out in the empty. That's another thing, okay? And so the good thing is we've had a pretty solid offensive line, okay, that these guys should be able to hold up as long as it's a balanced attack, right? So if it's lopsided where you're throwing 75 and 25, right? 75% passes, 25% run. Then you're asking a lot. You're asking a lot from those linemen to block those very talented defensive linemen from the Eagles. So I think the main thing, like I said before, I got to keep harping on it, run the football. Be effective running the football. And it's got to be downhill. Hit guys in the mouth, okay? I know pass rushers don't like to get hit. Run straight at them, okay? Run straight at them. I think once you establish those things, hey, it takes a lot out of a defense, right? It takes a lot out of them. And especially during fourth quarter, if you're running the football, leaning on those guys, they're not going to have so much of that juice coming after the quarterback at that moment, right? So I think that's what you have to do offensively.
And one thing that people, the mainstream media has kind of made a big deal of is Patrick Mahomes saying, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, he's not 100%, and he said he's feeling better every day, each and every day. And I was just watching Michael Vick on one of the Fox Sports shows, and he was saying that if I'm Patrick Mahomes, within the first series of the game or the first drive of the game, if you can run the ball, yeah, run it, be your normal self and run out of the pocket a few times, because that's right away – whatever game plan that Philadelphia has, however their game plan, they're going to have to go out and change and be like, okay, well, he really is 100%. This is more 100% than anything else. Rather than wait to get out there to kind of run it to force Philadelphia to kind of shift how they are going to play the Chiefs' offense. Is that something if you were telling Patrick, that's something you would do? You know, to kind of like, you know, obviously don't force a run if you don't need to. And he does a good job of not forcing any type of running, but.
Yeah, no, listen, look, as a guy like Michael Vick is giving advice, a quarterback, about running the football, cool. I understand that part of it. I understand what he's saying. But what also we know that when you take off running, that gives you a chance to get hit, right? And so if they keep him in the pocket where he's not out, getting to the outside, to the edge, he's running through lanes, they're going to be coming back, hitting him in his legs and, you know, ribs and everything. And so the more hits you take on that guy, on any, I don't care what quarterback it is, the more hits you take, you're hoping it's going to have an effect. So I think there's some validity in what he's saying, but like you said, make sure you're not running too much, but you just want to see where your feet are, right? I'm going to see how fast they are. Okay. And so that's a little bit where you can gauge your mind, you know, what the defense actually has and the speed of the game and what you're going to be playing against. And so, yeah, Patrick gets down. That's another, like when you slide, when, you know, sliding down and that ankle and whatnot too, I don't know. But, hey, man, Michael Vick, who was one of the best to ever do it, you know, running the football as a quarterback and then throwing, hey, I mean, he's got some good advice. The only thing is, man, you just don't want to keep taking those shots if you don't need to. But it's one game. Pat is going – if he needs to come out there and he need to carry him down the field. You remember when they did that with Brian Leftwich, Marshall was carrying – was that Jack? What was that when they was carrying him down the field? Was it Marshall? Do you remember that? His lineman carried him down the field.
What, Byron Leftwich?
Yes.
Yeah. That was Marshall. Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll do it if they need to. But we definitely need that guy to win. No doubt about it. We need PN15 to be healthy. We need him to be upright. And we got to make sure he's not taking any unnecessary hits. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, they have a good pass rush. And that's the thing. 2 years ago, we played against a team in the Super Bowl that had a pass rush just like this. It was a big deal. And what happened? What's that?
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, different situation. We got a better line. You know, we got all our guys up. So.
Exactly. That game forced us to go out and get Creed Humphrey, go trade for Orlando Brown. We've done that. That game is why we have the O-line that we have to combat this type of pass rush, and we shouldn't really be scared about it at all. Okay, so we talked about Pat's injury, and this is another thing that everyone's talking about is Jalen Hurts' shoulder injury, which he suffered towards the end of the season. And so many of the experts out there are saying that Jalen Hurts isn't 100% right now, that his shoulder is still injured. In the last two games, we've seen him. And obviously, like Pat, he's had time to rest and heal over the last 2 weeks. But both times we've seen him so far, he hasn't thrown for more than 25 passing attempts in each of the playoff games. And they've been relying more on the run. And in the five games the Eagles had less than 100 yards rushing this year, they were 2-3. And this is a stat that I pulled from our guy Lance at the Spoken Podcast. Okay. In the seven games the Chiefs' defense held their opponents to less than 100 rushing yards, they went 6-1. It's parallels here. We hold teams to less than 100 yards. We're winning when Eagles aren't running for over 100 yards. They're 2-3. They're not winning all their games. They're under 500. And with this potential of Hurts having this shoulder injury that they're kind of, they didn't have to really, both games have been blowouts. They didn't really have to throw the ball to press the arm at all. But you saw he was overshooting A.J. Brown. Some throws were low. Some people were contributing to that in that last game, to the shoulder not being 100%. How much of this game plan for us needs to be more about stopping the run to make Hurts throw the ball and to kind of let our guy, Chris Jones, exploit to kind of get back there? How much of the game plan needs to be us stopping the run this week?
Without a doubt, we got to control the line of scrimmage. And I'm telling you, coming off the ball, that has got to be your main key. And I said this to some of my guys earlier. I was talking to Tony and Billy and guys we on the feed. And I was like, look, if the Chiefs stop the run, if you stop the run, that absolutely increases your chances, okay, to put it in Jalen Hurts' hand to throw the football, okay? That's what the main thing has to be with the defensive line. You have to stop the run. And I think that's the key to victory. The key to victory is to make sure you don't have those guys getting out there, Sanders and all those guys, Scott and all those little guys, just running the football and they get them through the lanes. And same thing with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, he'll do pump with the ball. He'll take off running with his legs. So he's a very effective runner with the football as well. But I think that's one of the things you have to do. You got to make sure that you stop the run. So that to me, man, is any defense is trying to establish what you're trying to do against a good running football team. Stop the run. Okay. I think our secondary, our young corners will match up well against AJ Brown and, what's the name of the other wide receiver, the little skinny dude.
Devontae Smith.
Yeah. So you get his hands on him, you bing, 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 like a little pinball. So that's my thing about it. But AJ is going to be, but we got strong corners. We got big corners. And I think they can be able to run with this guy. So that's what I'm looking for, man. You stop the run, make him throw the football. Our corners, they'll be able to make sure that AJ Brandon don't get off. Not to mention also Goddard and those guys too. You know what I mean? So the safeties will have to do a hell of a job against that the receivers of that game of the Eagles.
Yeah, and that's funny though, because you see, there's a lot of these Eagles fans that are very, with the way Spags wants to create pressure, they're really happy that we're going to go one-on-one with Devontae Smith. They're hoping for that. which is funny because, you know,
oh, you're saying the Eagles fans?
A lot of Eagles fans, they're excited at the fact that we might have to go one-on-one with Devontae Smith with the pressure that Spags likes to bring.
Hey, man, listen, hey, go one-on-one, let him catch a couple of footballs, and you hit that Joker hard, man, he'd be ready to break. You can break that Joker up. I've seen him limp off plenty of games where, you know, he'd come back in, but you hit him hard enough, we got a hard-hitting secondary. We got guys that can tackle, and you beat him up, it could cause problems against him. And so once you get him out of the game, and then the Quentin, what's his name, hit on him too, the only guy they got is AJ. You double up on AJ when you need to over top. Hey, it could be lights out at that moment.
Yeah, it was Quez Watkins is the other guy.
Quez Watkins. I don't know why I'm sitting over here. I done did 8 interviews over this thing. But Quez Watkins. He's a decent receiver, you know. So, but AJ Brown, I think he's going to be your guy as your go-to. But let me say this, okay? Because I was having this conversation with somebody else. We have seen probably the best receivers in the game this year. We have seen, you know, Jamar Chase, Higgins, Diggs, Davis. We've seen these guys. And so I'm not worried about AJ Brown or Devontae Smith. I'm not. Not worried about them guys. Like I said, Spags, dial some things up. Come after Jalen Hurts. Matter of fact, same thing. Their shoulder's hurting them. Come after them. Right? So I think you have to do that. I think you have to create pressure. To me, that is a great game plan. And give over top when you need help. Sometimes in that pressure, you know, you could roll, you know, a safety over to get some help if you need it, right? So I think that's the gameplay. You have to do that. You have to do that. But seriously, you take Devontae Smith out, AJ Brown is the one you got left and got it. Hey, man, I take his odds all day, every day.
Yeah, and I know that a big to-do is being more about Mahomes' injury, his ankle injury, but, like, we're talking about a guy who's a quarterback who has a shoulder injury who likes to run. I mean, you're getting him more involved. The last few games, he really hasn't had to be involved because it had been blowouts. And a lot of people are talking about, if you look at strength of schedule, who they've played, who we haven't, and who we've played. That's one thing, you know, like, if Hurts does decide to run the ball, you're putting yourself in harm's way going against our guys. I mean, and if you forget whoever it is, it's football. You're putting your shoulder at risk there, going against that. So I mean, that's risky, right?
It's very risky. It's very risky. He does a lot of like takeoff running and get out of bounds. He's a smart quarterback that way. I watch him a lot, man, and he does a good job of getting out of bounds, not taking hits. You know, so he's a smart guy. And he's not going to take the same thing. He's not going to take a hit that he don't feel like he needs to. But the thing is, you got to make sure and capture that he's not getting out and escaping. So, yeah, it's going Frank Clark, Carlos Dunlap. You know, we got to see our guy, George, get after him. You know what I'm saying? And Nandi and Saunders, those guys got to show up. They got to show up this game. You know, same thing with the linebackers. They got to show up. We got to just rule and make sure that we're covering every blade of grass out there on the defense. And I think we will. I think we will.
Yeah, I think on a national scale, when we're in the Super Bowl, right, you have all eyes on you. And the Chiefs generally, over the last few years, we've started to have more eyes on us. But still, I think there's a little bit of a gap there because I think a lot of these national media pundits don't really follow us at all. So they just have this thing, oh, Chiefs don't play defense. It's like, well, it's getting to a point now where it's disrespectful to these guys who are, you know, Chris Jones and all these guys who do feel disrespected. And they talked a lot about that in a lot of the media, a lot of the media time this week. They've talked about the disrespect that they faced. And this is a thing where you're getting disrespected from these. A lot of people don't watch you week in and out, week in and week out. They watch you on the national televised games, the primetime games. They don't watch you on a random 1 o'clock game against, you know, right, just a random opponent. But now you're going to put yourself in a lot of these young guys, the guys who, you know, who have kind of, you know, who've gained clout over this year for us fans. And now you're going to go against this offense who everyone's talking about, one of the more prolific offenses in the league. Nothing we haven't seen before, like you said. But now you're facing disrespect for guys like Chris Jones, prideful guys. Now you're pissing them off a little bit, and you can kind of see Chris Jones had a little bit of an attitude during the media time. It was kind of great actually to watch during the media time. Do you think that's something that not bulletin board material per se, but more so kind of a prideful thing where you're people are saying, oh, your team's run by Patrick Mahomes and you're not, if Patrick Mahomes doesn't have a heroic type day, you guys aren't going to do anything. I mean, is that kind of a thing that's like, that kind of eats at players?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Listen, and the thing is, here is national media just doesn't feel like Kansas City Chiefs defense is sexy enough, right? It's always offense. I always want to talk about what Patrick Mahomes is doing or Travis Kelce is doing, okay? Or how have they been doing without Tyreek Hill, right? That's always the conversation. And it's always, oh, well, you know, obviously it was Burrow and Josh Allen, what they were going to do, and Justin Herbert and all this. Look, all those guys are knocked out, okay? We ran through all of those guys, okay, this past year, all right? So let's not get that thing twisted. But the defense has been doing a tremendous job. They have been doing an absolutely wonderful job. And like I said, because you have to compete with Patrick Mahomes being on your team, right, being the sexy part of Kansas City Chiefs, it is a slight in the face. And the defense should take it like that. And for the defense, they'd be like, look, we need to step up in this game. We need to make sure, I don't care, they keep talking about those other guys that they got on the other side of the ball. They're talking about how good Eagles defense is. We got to show them how good we are, period, you know, point blank. And I think when Chris is doing that, he's establishing that. He's got a mindset. I'm telling you, you can see it right there with him, man. He's just looking like he's hungry. He can't wait for the game to be there. Mm-hmm. So everybody on that line understands what's at stake. And if they don't, he's getting in their tail, let them know, look, we're this close. We can't let this go. We done got this close. We done lost one before. We need to go ahead and show everybody and shut all the naysayers up. Shut it all down. And it's going to start with us. And so they should take it personal. Shoot, Bolton should take it personal. Gay should take it personal. Reed should take it personal. Thorne should take it personal. Sneed should take it personal. Every single one of those guys should take it personal. They should. If they're not understanding, they ain't bouncing off the wall when they get off into that stadium to understand and establishing what you need to do, then these guys ain't going to be ready to play. But I know they're going to be ready to play. I know it. I can feel it. You can see I'm hyped right now. I'm just talking about it, man. right now, I'm gonna run out there. Widow! Woo!
I can tell, JD. I can tell.
Let me calm down.
So this is – and let me ask you, okay, so we talked about how our guys are battle-tested, and that's something our guys in their chat are talking about here, that we are a battle-tested team. And they're not – if we just look at their last three – look at our last two opponents, both teams, because we both had the bye. And I know you and I are both Jalen Hurts fans, so this is not taking away Jalen Hurts.
Right.
But if you were to rank quarterbacks on the last – on the teams we've played the last – including Philadelphia,
yeah.
So Jacksonville, Cincinnati, Hurts. Where would you put Hurts on that list between those three?
The three?
Mm-hmm.
I think, man, Hurts is a winner. He's a winner. He has, you know, he don't have to be the prototypical quarterback, right? He don't have to be the 6'4", 6'5", guy standing pretty with, you know, locks laying out. I mean, he had the locks a long time ago when he was in college, right?
Yeah.
But he don't have to have that. He knows how to win games. He commands respect and attention when he's out there. You know, Jason Kelce said that when I watched the interview, Jason was talking about, you know, Jalen Hurts and how he's like, man, he came in and everybody knows how to listen to this. He's a born leader.
Mm-hmm.
He is. But ranking him with these guys, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. I think that he's right up there with them. Put it that way. So he's right up with those guys.
Okay. Forget quarterback, because each team is a little bit different than system wise. Because, yeah, I mean, what makes Hurts so special is the system that he's in. That, you know, mm-hmm. not so much. I mean, he's a great quarterback, but the system, right? That he is in, it kind of provides that, like, oh man, like that's their special offense. Offensively, of the three offenses we played, where would you rank Philadelphia between Cincinnati and Jacksonville?
Oh, it's pretty good. That's good. They would be right there with Jacksonville. I put them right there. Maybe a little bit above that. I don't think they got a guys like Etienne and, of course, Mixon. They run back by committee, but they do an effective job. But I've seen them like disappearing games, right? Same with Mixon, those guys. But I think they're right there in that. They're right there in rank with them guys, man. Mm-hmm. So look. They got as an underdog, if I'm not mistaken. They get the Chiefs as an underdog, right?
Yeah.
there's a reason. And it's, I think they think the offense is prolific. And the defense is going to do a tremendous job. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't care what they've seen from the Chiefs offense. For them to try to get ready these 2 weeks and thinking about the number of plays that we done put together and what we do, it's still going to be tough for them, right? They're just going to rely on the pass rush to get hit home. that's what it's going to be. They're going to rely on the pass rush to hit home. Mm-hmm. So we negate that. Man, I think we're going to be blowing them out.
JD, we have a question here from our follower, Trish. Mm-hmm. Does JD think the D-line getting their hands up will help dominate the line of scrimmage considering Hurts' height?
Well, I think if you can't get there, you got to put your hands up. I think that you know, just getting in those the passing lanes, right, changing angles on, you know, the trajectory of the ball definitely helps. And I think you have to wait at the last second. If, like I said, if you're not there, you haven't got there yet, you got to put your hands up. So will that help dominate the line of scrimmage? Hopefully we just beat them right off the off the snap is what I want to. I want to get to the point where, you know, and this is good. Look, and this is a great offensive line. Okay. Make no mistake about it. Offensive line is they're very, very good. One of the top offensive lines in the league. So Chris got to establish that. I know he's going to get double teamed a lot. So everybody else got to eat. It's got to be George and, you know, Frank, you know, it's got to be Dunlap. It's got to be all those other guys. This, you know, it's getting home. So yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good point, yeah, by the FF Explorer. I mean, Eagles' O-line is significantly better than Cincinnati, so it's a different team we're playing there as far as that in the trenches.
No doubt. But Chris Jones is Chris Jones, okay?
True.
So one of the best defensive linemen, if not the best, this past year, in the league. So they're going to have their hands full, and they haven't seen 9-5 get off the snap yet. So they're gonna figure it real quick. We need to stop this guy.
Yeah, and also like we talk about the differences in the offenses we've played. Like on the other end, on the NFC side, I mean that's the thing we've talked about kind of all year. And obviously it's the Chiefs show, so we talk about the AFC exclusively pretty much. But we've talked about, you know, the NFC not really being that powerhouse. You had like two teams, and then everybody else was kind of everyone was so close to each other. Yeah. So if you look at the Eagles' run to the Super Bowl, you go against the Giants, you go against Daniel Jones, and then you go against that disaster that San Francisco had with the multiple quarterbacks, and now they're trying to change the rules to allow teams to carry three quarterbacks for every game now. But like they haven't played against the Mahomes. We played against them last year. We pretty much had that game handled pretty much all game last year when we played them. But they're seeing something they haven't really seen yet this year. In our prolific offense, so that's something that's not being talked about enough is that the difference in level of play that they've had to go against, and now what they're going to see in the granddaddy of them all in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that's the truth. That's just the truth of it. And so we're going to be the best offense they've seen, no doubt about it, right? And so my thing is, how do you defend that? Like I said, within these 2 weeks. You know, putting a game plan to defend something like that. And like I said, I think that's what they're going to rely on. They're going to rely on that pass rush. So if our guys hold up in the inside, I know they will. I think, you know, offensive line is – they're very capable. They're very good offensive line, no doubt about it, right across the board. OBJ's got to have his best game. Wilder's got to have his best game, right? That's the ones that everybody's like, okay, what is it going to be with these guys and stuff like that? I think if they have a good game, get their hands on it, plus get some help on some chips out with McKinnon or Pacheco, it's going to be fine. CIH could come and do that too. So I think they're going to look, Philly's going to have their hands full. If they can't get home, they're going to have their hand full trying to stop the Chiefs and what they do. I mean, Andy and them, they're just a genius. They are. And just getting guys open, you know, just creating space. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, when I said on our side of the ball, controlling, all, you know, covering all blades of grass, and he's going to make sure they cover every single blade of grass, every dirt, every little thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I forgot about this too. Lane Johnson, okay? Lane Johnson, apparently he's still suffering a little bit with the groin.
Yep. Right?
So there's some things that you had to think about as far as, you know, what they had to deal with as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. I mean, if you go through the Eagles' schedule this year, there's a few times where they kind of look susceptible. I think Dak in that one game they put up 40 points against them. I mean, yeah, there's games that happens all the time where, you know, there's an anomaly where you have some teams blow up against you. But like that, it was Dak and Jared Goff were the two big games that that the quarterbacks opposing offenses had against them. And those are, I wouldn't say Detroit and Dallas are on our level. And they were susceptible against the pass in those games.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, they've had some hard games this year. They have. And I would even say Washington, the Commanders, you know, took them, you know, should have had them, you know, beat one time up there in Philly. They had it won, to be honest with you. I mean, they had them on the ropes. So this man, look, this is going to be a great Super Bowl. This the two teams that should have made it are there, right? Mm-hmm. And I cannot wait. I don't think it's going to be one of those blowouts by either team. I think if you know, the Chiefs jump on them early, that's going to hurt them a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you go up 14-0 and then you have to throw the football, woo, okay, changes things. So immediately, let's come out fast. When we come out, start fire. Start firing mm-hmm. all cylinders right now. Yeah. It's very important. But I know somebody alluded to, you know, of course, Ann and them. They have the coaching. We definitely have that factor. We have the thumbs up on that side, right? We have the advantage, no doubt, on the coaching aspect. And I think that's another thing. That's another situation that we will take over and say the experience right there. Yeah, in big games. There's no doubt about it. So I'm looking for that. I think that nobody's really talked about this. I'm going to say also, too, special teams-wise. Special teams are going to be very big in this game. Okay, yeah. It's going to be a lot, you know, a little bit more than what people think it is, and so it might be a muff pun or something. I don't know what's going to happen. I just have a feeling that something's going to happen on special teams that's going to put people like, oh man, what happened? And so if we get Kadarius Toney back there to return a couple good balls, hey, then that might be something that we need to do. We need to get him back there.
Yeah, I hope there's no special teams problems, because I feel like we've definitely had more – we've had more problems with our special teams than they've had, so I don't even want to think about any special teams blunders.
Yeah, man. In this game, every single factor is going to come in. Every mm-hmm. part of what you do as a team is going to come in it, right?
Yeah.
How do you respond if something happens? You know, and that's another thing, especially in big games. The Chiefs have been there before.
Yeah.
So you know – they can respond well. They've done it all season. So,
yeah, and I think if you look at the Super Bowl experience, I think they've only had – I think they only have like four or five guys from that's 2017 Super Bowl that are still on that Philadelphia team. But then you look at our team, I mean, we have at least – I think we have like 20 guys, 17 or 18 guys still from that team. So, I mean, there's still a lot of guys from that from the last Super Bowls we've been to.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, JD, this is – I alluded to – we're going to get to the fun questions now. So, you know, you think about Kansas City, you think about barbecue, and you think about Philadelphia, you think about cheesesteaks. Mm-hmm. Two great foods. You know, you got the barbecue aspect of things, and you got Philly cheesesteaks, which are great. I'm more of a chicken Philly guy. I like chicken more than I like red meat. But you play in both cities, so you got your fair share of Kansas City barbecue, and you got your fair share of cheesesteaks. Everyone wants to talk about Hurts versus Mahomes. Who'd you rather have? I'm going Kansas City barbecue or Philly cheesesteaks. What would you rather have, JD? What is better?
To me, it's the barbecue. You know, I never really got into the Philly cheesesteaks. I'm like you. I like the chicken cheesesteak. And a matter of fact, there was a spot actually off of, oh, my goodness. I'm trying to think. Delaware Avenue. And they used to make chicken riads. Chicken riads was incredible. Those things right there, man. We used to go. We go out. We bring like three or four of those home back to Jersey where I lived at when the night was over. But it was called Chicken Riads. Now, those things right there was fire. I'm talking about absolute fire.
Chicken Riads, was that was it like a sandwich?
It's a sandwich. So it was chicken with honey mustard, and you had spinach, a little bit of seasoning. Oh, man, you're talking perfect Chicken Riads. Never had one, man. I'm telling you how to get one. But other than that, barbecue – no doubt about it. Kansas City barbecue is definitely, to my in my taste, is a lot better than Philly cheesesteaks. No doubt.
Yeah, it was a tough one for me. I love sandwiches, but this weekend. You know, being in Northern Virginia, we don't really have that many. We don't have many Kansas City barbecue places. We did have one, but it's closed temporarily. So we were gonna do a little bit of barbecue and cheesesteaks. We're just doing a barbecue this weekend. Obviously,
okay. It's almost unfair because barbecue is just, you know, whatever you're doing, right? Ribs, yeah. I mean, chicken, bird ends. I mean, you're doing all of that, man. Uh-huh. So, I mean, how do you go wrong with that? How do you go wrong with it? And then the Philly cheesesteaks is
cheesesteak.
Yeah,
no,
I don't know. The cheese whiz. You had to use cheese whiz or some type of like special. Hey, man, they could keep it. I just never really got into the Philly cheesesteaks like that. And I've had them all. I had past steaks. I had, you know, Geno's and all those good things. But I just, you know.
On our so for those of you who follow the show, you guys know I'm a 76ers fan of the Philadelphia basketball team. So we have Eric Snow, who played for the Philadelphia 76ers. And we talked about cheesesteaks. Can you hear me? Am I freezing up?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that, guys. So we talked about cheesesteak places, and there was a place that he suggested called Ishka Bibbles. Did you ever have that place when you were
Ishka
there?
Bibbles, yeah. Ishka Bibbles is pretty good. Ishka Bibbles is all right. It's okay. It's all right. Ishka Bibbles. I think it's on South Street.
Since you were playing there, I think they ended up it got so popular they ended up making a second spot for it. But like the original one is the South Street one.
Yeah.
All right. So I mentioned what I'm going to be eating on Sunday, JD. So what is your? I know every year we're in the Super Bowl, or every year we've had the show. We've done this. We always talk about Super Bowl meals. What is your Super Bowl meal on Sunday?
Super Bowl meal on Sunday. I mean, it's going to be an array of, you know, vegetables. We're going to have probably some, obviously some wings. We're going to definitely have some wings here. You know, I don't really do too many ribs, but we'll probably have some pulled chicken. You know, some pulled chicken is really good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. You know, some burgers. We'll have some burgers here. But that's it. Nothing really too fancy. Nothing too fancy. You know, we got like a nice, you know, we do like a fruit salad of things. Just really, really tasty. But you know, we'll make it real, you know, real nice and I'm gonna say pretty, but not pretty, but looking gourmet. How about that? Okay. So
a nice little array of things.
Yeah, no doubt. The smorgasbord.
Yeah. Yeah, we're like I said, we're doing barbecues. We're gonna have a chicken, some sliced brisket. I'm only going to touch the chicken. You got sliced brisket. We're going to have some burnt ends. And then obviously some potato salad, mac and cheese, baked beans. That's pretty much it. Yeah. And then I obviously have some of the little vegetable, the vegetable dip, like the dipping tray of like carrots, celery, all that stuff. Yeah. Of course.
Somebody bring mac and cheese, man, but I won't eat it.
That's right. You're not a mac and cheese.
Unless my daughter does it. Yeah, definitely. Like I'm not even a big baked bean eater either. I don't like baked beans. You like baked beans?
I'm all right. There's some things where I kind of like take it off the list because of how it makes me feel like the next day. So beans in general just makes me feel awful the next day. And I'm like I'm on a dome for a good amount of the next day.
The 3 to 4.
Yeah, seriously.
Good stuff. No,
okay, so the next one is the halftime show. Rihanna is going to be singing performing on the halftime show. And this week, Mahomes got asked what his favorite Rihanna song was, and he said "Umbrella," and he got a lot of crap for him saying "Umbrella" was his favorite Rihanna song. Mm-hmm. So, JD, do you have a favorite Rihanna song?
A favorite one? Oh man, she makes such good hits. I like Rihanna. She has some really good hits. What's wrong with Umbrella? Umbrella's a good song. Shoot.
I don't know. He got a lot of flack for that online. A lot of like cheap fans were like, well, I guess he doesn't listen to Rihanna then. That's his favorite song. It's like the most like basic one to like.
That's why I can't really she made that one song. I can't think of right now. And I think they put in like the motion picture Star Trek. I think I just remember that one. It was in that Star Trek movie. Mm-hmm. I can't think of it. Hold on. Like, let me see. Rihanna, Star Trek.
So Lenny Dawson's got to take a bow here. You got
Take a Bow is a great one.
That's a good one. Disturbia. I was gonna say that was my favorite Rihanna song. That was
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's good.
Could be that one. That was eighth grade for me.
Hey, come on, look, Rihanna, incredible. I love some Rihanna, man. She does some really good stuff, some really good songs. You can't go wrong with Rihanna.
You can't go wrong at all. Nah. Yeah, for some people, there was a lot of people who were upset. You know, everyone always complains about things. Some people were upset that she was getting the halftime show when they first named her, like last year. I was like, come on, I'm gonna love that. And last year you had some of the old heads for the older generation. Let's get some of the younger crowd involved, or the millennial crowd. I guess this is the Brianna.
Listen, I went to a resort and they played some Rihanna, and I've seen young to old dancing to Rihanna.
Yeah. So
I don't know who doesn't like Rihanna. And I'm telling you, when I'm talking about the diversity of people, everybody was getting up dancing on Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the left, to the left. Come on, man. How you not like Rihanna? I didn't get that song, but I think to me that was one of the best ones. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah. How you don't like Rihanna? I'm sorry.
I don't get it. Well, I think I remember when we won the Super Bowl last time against the Niners, was that was J-Lo and Shakira, and there was people mad about that. I was like, what? That was a good show. It was good stuff going on in that one.
Crazy people. People just want to be upset just to be upset.
Yeah.
Hey, 62, you can enjoy Rihanna. Can I get a thumbs up on that one? Huh?
You can enjoy. My bad, Lenny. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be ageist there, buddy.
Oh, yeah. All ages, baby. All ages.
Hey, it's beauty about Rihanna from 62 to, you know, 29. Anybody can enjoy Rihanna. Okay. So now we're getting into the nitty gritty here, JD. It's our last game prediction in NFL wise until next year. So I guess our next meaningful one will be week one of the NFL season of 2023, but we'll still do the game picks for the meaningless preseason games. but Chiefs, as of right now, are 1.5 point underdog against the Philadelphia Eagles. They are 1.5 point favorite. JD, who do you have and why on Super Bowl Sunday?
So this has been my pick, past 2 weeks. And like I said, it was going to depend on who was going to be playing, you know, what it was going to look like. So we've seen everybody who's going to be suiting up for the game. I have the Chiefs winning 28-21. That's where I'm at. Okay. 28-21. And I said, if they, you know, kick the field goal to make it 28-24, then that would be it. But I think the Chiefs will definitely beat them 28-21.
So the total points of this game is 51 as of right now. You have it just under that.
Yeah.
So do you think it's going to be one of those games where it's a high offensive output in the first half, or it's going to be slow, and then second half you'll see kind of more of an offensive output for both teams?
First quarter, I think it's going to be a high output. Second quarter is going to slow down a little bit. Third quarter is going to be kind of, you know, somewhat kind of starting off. Third, around that time, about the, you know, mid-third on, you start seeing a couple more scores. That's when the Chiefs going to get a couple more scores. You know, Philly's going to come back with a couple of scores. They're going to be down. I think at halftime, it's going to be 14-7 for me. So maybe even 14-10. But no, 14-7. And then at the end of the game, Chiefs going to go up for another touchdown, and then that's where it's going to close out. Philly's going to try to catch up, and it's just going to be too late. It's not going to be enough. So,
hey, I'm down with 28-21. I picked the Chiefs as well to win. I just had a money line. I didn't touch the spread. I actually have a friend who actually sold points in the game and took the Chiefs -2.5 because he thinks the Chiefs will at least win by a field goal. So you should be set with that. But just taking the money line, you're getting plus points there. So you may as well just take the money line there, just straight up. But yeah, I hope you're right, JD. I hope 28-21. Do you have a do you think Mahomes will be the MVP? Right now, I think that Jalen Hurts has a higher is based on the money, it has a higher chance of winning MVP. But that's also because they have them winning. Vegas has them, the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. But who do you think is going to be the MVP? And who's your dark horse candidate to win the MVP?
Oh man. Good question. I think it's either if it's not Pat, I think it might be Chris. I think it think Chris to come in, man, with three sacks. And I'm talking about the determining factor. He's just going to wreak havoc, man. I think right now, what he got against the Bengals, I think now, remember we had Aaron Donald and what's the name of the guy that was co-MVP? I think this may be somewhere around that kind of deal, maybe, possibly, you know. But, you know, I think, you know, if it's not Pat, then Chris, if he goes in, he's dominant like I know he can be. That's what it would be.
Yeah. I've seen some people online are taking Pacheco to be the MVP just because, like, I think the odds on that, like, if he has a big game or something, they might give it to him. But I think when in doubt, the quarterback's always going to win the MVP, regardless if the quarterback has a mediocre game or not. I think, especially with Mahomes' history, what he's gone through in this playoffs, I think even if he has a mediocre game, I think they're going to give it to him just for powering through the injury that he's had this offseason or this postseason.
Yeah, Pacheco would have to have three touchdowns, 160 yards, something like that. No, seriously. I mean, yeah. It had to be right. Like, dang, God, we didn't see it's coming, yeah. Right? We're more than 160. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying it can't happen, right? Shoot, who knows? But my odds is definitely on Pat on that one.
Yeah, so with Damian Williams had what, two touchdowns and 130 yards in that Super Bowl, and he didn't get the MVP.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, you have to have something ridiculous like Willie Parker esque type of performance in that Super Bowl with the Steelers to steal away the MVP from the quarterback.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I just picked up. Here's my favorite Rihanna song. So. Remiss.
I never felt so low, so low.
It's got a lot of grip to it, man. That's the sledgehammer. That's what that is.
This is in Star Trek?
I don't know something about that, like that video. It's captivating. And I was just like, wow, I love this. And the sound of it, you know, so that's like one of my favorite right there, Sledgehammer. So they can get on Patrick all day on the, what did he like, Umbrella?
Umbrella.
That's my Sledgehammer.
So you went for more of the non-poppy, right? You like the non-poppy.
I like it. I like Rihanna. I like most of Rihanna's songs. Like I said, you can't go wrong with it. But like when I'm, If I'm in that mood right here, the Sledgehammer one, like that video, something about that video, definitely. You know, but, you know, y'all ain't too bad to look at either, right? How you not want to come on?
I know.
Hey, somebody who ever said they want to see Rihanna need to slap themselves. Slap yourself.
I know.
Take your right hand to your left, which one's the diamond one, and then go across your face. Okay.
There's a lot to love with the performance during that halftime show this weekend.
She's going to do a good job.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Who's doing the national anthem? You know who's doing all that?
Ooh, actually, I don't know that. It's funny. We all know the halftime shows, but we don't know the national anthem. It's funny because back in the day, the national anthem person was saying that was a huge deal.
Absolutely. Sure.
It's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be some big name it usually is.
I think that's just as important, too, to have somebody that can, you know, blow for that.
Oh, yeah. Because there's two ways you can go with that. You can go with like someone who really messes it up, like in the All-Star game 2 years ago when Fergie messed it up during the NBA All-Star game, which is still one of the funniest videos ever, showing all the guys like laughing during it.
I know it. No, you can't have anybody like that. It's got. I'm talking about star-studded. Not saying Fergie's not, but Fergie's right here. You need somebody up here though. Okay, you need somebody you know is going to blow the top off the arena. You know, chills. Woo! Like, woo!
Yeah. Like, I remember, like, one of the, you'll appreciate this. I remember, like, back in the day, the old WrestleManias, like WrestleMania 2, WrestleMania 3. I remember watching, like, the old, like, the highlights of it and stuff. And, like, I think it was WrestleMania 2 or 3 where they had Ray Charles come on and do it. And that dude. Well, no, it wasn't actually that he did it. America Beautiful.
America Beautiful. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. His, like, his one of his classic ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, something like that. But well, that does it for us, guys. Thanks for tuning in to Chief Concerns presented by Bet Online and Pickett. Make sure you guys use the Pickett promo code Chiefs to get $3, and you can put that on the Chiefs this weekend or just to have an extra $3. Why not? Link in the description for that. And we want to thank you guys, all of you guys, for a wonderful, wonderful season. Obviously, we'll be back next Wednesday or next Thursday for our first off-season episode. But we really want to thank you guys for tapping in to Chief Concerns all throughout the season and the postseason. Really love you guys, love our listeners, and obviously our viewers. We're happy to introduce the live component for this show, so you guys can always talk to us and be a part of the Chief Concerns video aspect of things. But we really thank you guys for an amazing 2022 season. We can't wait to continue going forward in 2023, guys.
No doubt, man. We're gonna keep the good times rolling. Still having great content. We're gonna have a lot of great guests still during the off season, putting it on. We're gonna have some guys, the players this year coming to this off season. So it's gonna be some really good things that we have coming up on our plate. And so you enjoy it, especially during this off season after the Chiefs win it. So
saved by the buzzer right there.
Yeah. Like wifey calling.
Okay. All right. Well, that's when we need to go. But guys, we hope you guys enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll see you guys right back here next Thursday on Chief Concerns.
Enjoy the weekend, folks. All right. Everybody be careful. Be safe. All right. Yep. Love you. Go Chiefs. Here we go.
Go Chiefs. Love you guys. Have a good one.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.